It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Well, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning. This is Matt Staver. I'm founder and chairman of Liberty Council, and I have the privilege today to fill in for Sandy. And we have a very special guest that I'm going to introduce to you. I am just so privileged, as I said, to fill in for Sandy Rios, and she will be back in the near future to continue her wonderful program. But my special guest today that I want to introduce, and we'll have some time for some Q&A with her, is Kim Davis. Kim Davis, as you remember, is the Rowan County, Kentucky clerk, and she came into the headlines not because of anything that she did on her own that she was trying to do. She was just living a life dedicated to Jesus Christ. And the Supreme Court issued a 5-4 decision at the end of June 2015. And Kim Davis was the, and continues to be, the clerk in Rowan County, Kentucky. And the issue came to her about whether she would issue a marriage license with her name, title, and authority that authorized a marriage that was contrary to God's definition of marriage. And you remember the story of Kim Davis. She refused to do so. She spent 6 days in jail. She became known internationally. And also, as a result of that, there's a lot of things that have happened that were consequential flowing out of Kim's stand, one of which was a great governor supported her, and he became the governor of the Commonwealth of Kentucky, Matt Bevin, an outspoken Christian, pro-life, pro-family, pro-Kim Davis, pro-religious liberty. And then the legislature last year, Republicans and Democrats, unanimously passed a religious freedom bill that protects Kim Davis and other clerks that have religious objections to putting their name and associated title and authority on these marriage licenses that conflict with God's definition of marriage between one man and one woman. So it is a pleasure to welcome to you Kim Davis. Welcome to the program, Kim.
Thank you, Matt. It's an honor.
Well, Kim, there's a lot of things we want to go over, and I want people that are listening who will ultimately have some time to call in later in the program. I'll give the number a little bit later. But I want to give a little background. A lot of things that may not either be remembered about your story or that were not reported in the media regarding your story. Take us back before 2015. Take us back before you actually were a clerk, but you were working in the clerk's office under the direction of your mother. Your mother was a long-standing clerk of Rowan County for many years. Take us back to that and bring us up to the time of your election before we get to the situation that occurred in 2015.
Well, my mother, I was very honored to be able to serve under her authority. She started in the clerk's office when she was a senior in high school, and so it's the only job she ever had. She was a deputy clerk for 18 years. And then my mother ran and successfully had 9 terms of being clerk. So she was clerk for 37 years. She worked here in the clerk's office for 55 years. And so when it was coming time for her to retire, you know, there was a lot of people that speculated that she was going to retire in the end of 2014. And I had people coming up to me because I had been her deputy for almost 26 years at that time. And I had people coming up to me saying, "Oh, Kim, you know you have to run. We need somebody in here, you know, that knows what's going on, and you've been here and you know how to run the office." And, you know, my dream and vision, my fleshly dream and vision, was for me and my mother to walk out together, leave this clerk's office behind us, and enjoy some time together, not in this office setting.
So she would continue to be the elected clerk, and then you would be an employee. She would be the person who has the authority to hire deputies that assist her, and you were one of those deputy clerks. And your vision was your mom continues to get reelected. At some point in time, she decides to retire, and both you and your mom walk out together, and you live a fairly restful, calm life with one another thereafter.
Yeah, that was what I envisioned, but that was not what the Lord had in mind for me. 3 years prior, to my mother retiring, I rededicated myself to the Lord, and I promised Him that I would love Him and honor Him and work for Him with my whole heart, mind, body, and soul. And I didn't want to take that vow that I made to the Lord lightly. And so I wanted to retire. I wanted to get out, you know, knock on doors and just witness and visit and, you know, really try to do something for God. So I thought that was what I thought I was going to do for the Lord.
I want to get back to that story a little bit later about how your life was dramatically changed, which is about 4.5 years before the Supreme Court decision came down, because that is a big part of your story. But continue on with where we are.
So, you know, people started asking, and then I just kind of blew them off because, you know, I had in my mind what I wanted to do. And so I really started seeking God and just questioning Him if this was the path that I needed to take. And then there was an evangelist that came to our church, and he preached about Christians taking back their community. And I thought, man, I felt like I was the only one sitting, you know, in the sanctuary being preached to, because here I was rolling this around in my mind, and God is sending me a messenger to say, look, this is what I'm calling you to do, and this is what I want you to do.
Now, what year was this, Kim?
This was in about 2000, about March of 2013.
So this was just about 2 years before the Supreme Court decision.
Yes.
A little over.
So, yeah, God was preparing. You know, He was, and more so than anything, I truly wanted to be a vessel that could be used of God. And so when God spoke to me, you know, I perked up and I kind of listened and was, you know, really contemplating this. So I went to my pastor and I said, Pastor, what do you think about me running for public office? And he looked at me with no even hesitation. He said, oh, sounds like a good idea to me. And I kind of looked up, I said, thanks, God, you know. But I told the Lord, I said, Lord, you know I'm not a politician, and I'm not politically correct. And I said, you have to make this happen. I said, I'll be your vessel, but it's yours. You have to make it happen. And He did. It was just remarkable the way things worked. You know, people coming in to me asking for signs and donating money for the campaign, you know, to buy
Now, this
literature.
Whole time frame, Kim, when you decided to run for office, your mom also had a physical injury, did she not, that
yes.
Prevented her from actually continuing some of the work? She injured her back pretty significantly.
She did. She actually broke her back and was in a turtle shell of a thing. And I was working about 60 hours a week. And, you know, there was no way
that I could go out. You had to care for your mom while she was going through this. She was in a clamshell for her broken back. You had to run the office in her absence, and you had to run a campaign that you had never run before.
That's true. It was if it had not been for my husband, you know, going out and putting the signs up that people wanted, they would call in and tell me that they wanted a sign. I would get the address, and then he would go out and put the sign up. But if it had not been for him, you know, doing all that stuff, even when it came to, like, attending events, like on Saturday, we had church on Saturday, and so I would stay for a little while, and then I would leave and go to church, you know. I wouldn't miss church to be a politician, you know. That's mm-hmm. just, that wasn't mm-hmm. who I was. But, you know, God really just showed up and took care of everything. There was three of us running in the primary. I won by 23 votes. It was slim. But, you know, with God...
And you ran as a Democrat at that time because you were
a
lifelong
yes.
Democrat, as many people
yes.
in Kentucky have been.
Yeah, I was a registered Democrat. I was born a Democrat, thought I would die a Democrat, you know. And God
shorthanded... Some of that changed during the whole case.
Yes.
Where you didn't leave the Democratic Party, I think you said the Democratic Party left you and you changed your registration later.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they left me high and dry. So,
yeah.
But,
and it was particularly on this issue of marriage, it became pretty clear.
Oh, yes.
That you had been abandoned, if you will, by the party on this very critical issue.
Most definitely, because, you know, before, and I guess I just never really realized how far they had moved from what I valued. You know, I guess it was just such a slide of a sort that it never really grabbed my attention. Of course, you know, I don't watch television or news or anything like that, so, and I don't do social media, so I'm not in the mainstream of what's going on, and I guess that stuff, you know, just kind of slipped through my vision. And then when all this came up against me, I realized, man, their values aren't anything of mine. Mm. And so,
so you got elected, and actually in your office there, I've seen it. We've got a photo of it. What was it, almost 30 years before? I think your mom by this time, by the time you got elected, was, what, 29, 30 years in office?
Mm-hmm.
And you have the photograph of your mom, I think it was 30 years before, your actual election night, in which she learned that she was elected for the very first time. And you have a photograph of yourself 30 years later in your desk, when you learned for the very first time that you were now the new elected clerk of Rowan County, and that occurred in 2014. It's an amazing story. It's an incredible picture. And God had put you into this position just in time for what was getting ready to happen the following year. Your mom had been in office now for, she was probably one of the longest elected officials in all of the Commonwealth of Kentucky, I would think.
Yeah, 37 years as clerk is was a long stand.
37 years. So she was there 37 years, the longest elected official in Kentucky. Then she retires in 2014. You've become elected. You take office in early, what, 2015, at the end of 2014? And you then are put on a committee that is to study what happens to the clerks if the Supreme Court goes the wrong way on the issue of marriage. And you were part of that committee, and you tried to get the attention of the then governor, Democratic Governor Beshears, and the legislature, but unfortunately couldn't get their attention to act before the end of June 2015 when the Supreme Court issued its 5-4 opinion on marriage.
Yeah, I tried to, I actually wrote every legislator we had and representative and senator alike, and really beseeched them to, while they still had time, to get some legislation on the floor to allow an exemption or an opt-out for clerks to sell marriage license who had, you know, religious objections. And, man, it fell to a deaf ear. And I had one senator that actually his constituent called me back and said, you know, or emailed me and said that he agrees, but, you know, there was nothing ever done.
Nothing ever done. So
nothing ever done.
So at the end of June, what we have is a 5-4 opinion that came down on a Friday. And that opinion was that there is all the laws that involve Kentucky are struck down under this opinion, and therefore same-sex marriage is authorized. That then falls right on your doorstep, and when you come into office to work on the following Monday, now you're confronted with what are you going to do. But it wasn't at that point in time that you made your decision. We're going to talk about it after the break. Our special guest is Kim Davis. You made your decision before that in case the Supreme Court went the wrong way. We're going to talk to Kim Davis, continue her incredibly fascinating story. It's a journey of God's providence. It's a story of His superintending providence in this situation in her life. But it's also a story of redemption and restoration and how a woman can be completely transformed to defend God's created order of marriage as the union of a man and a woman. An inspiration to so many of us. Our special guest is Kim Davis. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Council, filling in for Sandy Rios. We're going to be right back after this break.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. One of the places we visit on one of the days on our tour of Israel is the Shepherd's Fields. Now, this is a place in Bethlehem. You can look out on any given day and see shepherds with their sheep, as if it were 2,000 years ago during the birth of Christ. So that's a very special place that we visit. Yeah, the terrain would be the same. You can just picture yourself being there the night the angels sang about the glory of the coming of the Lord. That's just one of the places we visit on one of the days. So if you would like to join us on our March 8th through the 16th tour of Israel, we'd love to have you. Just go to the website, twholyland.com, for more information. twholyland.com. Or for a free brochure sent to you in the mail, call us at 800-FAMILIES. That's 1-800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, option 5.
It's Truth for Youth Bible Week. This week, we're partnering with Revival Fires International to give away thousands of Truth for Youth Bibles. You can have one if you promise to pass it on to a student that you suspect doesn't know Christ.
We saw so many lives changed and seeds planted in the hearts of our students.
It's like, man, I really like the Truth for Youth Bible. How do I get to your church?
Each Bible consists of the entire New Testament, along with 100 pages of comics dealing with the truth about issues of moral concern.
I read some of the comics and they really touched my heart.
Parents, order a free Truth for Youth Bible for your teen to give to a friend. Or teens, you can order a Bible for a friend. They're even available in Spanish. Visit revivalfires.com or call 800-733-4737 between 8 and 4:30 Central Time. That's 800-733-4737. Let's take the message of the gospel to America's youth.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and Commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Peter Koh, and I'm a business major, and this is my junior year at the college. What I love about the athletics here at Truett McConnell University is the coaches and their side of trying to teach sports from a biblical mindset with sportsmanship involved, and it really changes the way that you pursue the game, not just passionately doing it for other people, but also for yourself and to glorify God in that, which is completely different from most other schools.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation is threatening to sue an Alabama school district unless they stop letting school workers participate in the Op High School baccalaureate service. The atheists are upset because the school's principal delivered a prayer at the service. They say that's against the law, that school workers cannot participate in baccalaureate services. That means they can't even host, organize, plan, or coordinate the event. In other words, they think it's unconstitutional for a principal to pray or for a teacher to dish out bowls of banana pudding to graduates. Atheists are waging a fierce battle against people of faith. I wrote about this in my book, The Deplorable's Guide to Making America Great Again. We've got to stand up to those who want to take away our freedoms. And if you don't believe me, just ask the good people of Op, Alabama. They're one bowl of banana pudding away from a federal lawsuit. I'm Todd Stearns.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Sandy Rios in the Morning show. I'm filling in for Sandy. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Council. Our very special guest is Kim Davis, the clerk of Rowan County, Kentucky, who made international headlines in 2015-2016 and is still in the news with regards to her stand regarding marriage. In a few moments, we're going to open up the phone lines. Let me give you the number, but we're not going to open up the lines yet. You can just write this down. It's 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We're not opening the lines yet, but we will, and you'll be able to talk to Kim Davis and ask her questions or even give her encouragement. That's 888-589-8840. We'll open up the lines in a few moments. Kim, let's take us back now, just before we get to June of 2015. 4.5 years before that, there's a before and after Kim Davis. There's a before Kim Davis, there's an after Kim Davis, and what happened in between the before and after was a dramatic encounter with Jesus Christ. I know you shared your testimony with me during the whole case as we were representing you, and we continued to represent you at Liberty Council. I got a call from someone who was a liberal media, and they said, that the situation with regards to your past, that you ultimately were someone who made a mess of marriage. That's what they said. And that now how can you withhold marriage licenses to people who wanted to ultimately have marriage? And I called you and asked, what's up? And you said, you gave me your story. And one of the things you said was, you were a good mother, but not a good person. And something dramatically happened on a Sunday. Tell us about that Sunday, 4.5 years prior to June 2015.
Well, my mother-in-law had been diagnosed in October of 2010 with liver cancer, stage 4. And she was a godly woman, a praying woman, very humble and meek with, you know, with the meek spirit. And we were at her house literally just waiting for her to die. It was really sad watching her go from being a strong prayer warrior into someone that was so weak they could not pray. Excuse me. And she told me, she said, I was in there in her bedroom. She had laid down to rest for a little bit. And she told me, she said, Kim, she said, I'm so worried about my boys. My husband has a younger brother. And I said, oh, don't worry, Mommy. I said, Joe and I are back together. And I said, he'll be all right. And I don't know if that gave her much comfort or anything, but she said, I want you all to go to church. She said, I want you to go to church. And so she died shortly thereafter. On January 23rd of 2011, and that was on a Sunday. That night, our whole family, my husband's whole family, we went to church, to her church, which used to be our church that we had, you know, backslidden from. And
your understanding, as I kind of go through this, you were basically fulfilling your mother-in-law's dying wish.
Yeah.
But you intended to just go there, check it off the list, and go about your normal life.
Exactly. Exactly. I had no intention of relinquishing myself to the Lord. You know, my husband and I were enjoying life, and it was just, you know, that was not even in my mind. But when you hear the preached word of God, and it stirs your heart. It wasn't me anymore. You know, it was the Lord that took over, and I fell to my knees right there in my pew, and just, man, had me a slobber fest and cried and repented of, you know, of my wicked ways, and I promised God. I promised him while I was on my face that night. I said, God, I will love you with my whole heart, mind, body, and soul. I felt truly, Matt, that this was the last time that God was going to pull for me. And I don't know why I felt that, but there was such a sense of urgency and a sense of dire need of commitment right then. And so I promised him, I said, I will love you with my whole heart, mind, body, and soul. And from that point on, you know, I have never looked back, prayed back through the Holy Ghost, and was just living and letting it lead and guide me, as the Word of God says. You know, you have to be led of the Spirit. Mm. And so I really wanted to make a difference in the kingdom, you know. But I was so strapped down. The devil will make you feel like your past will keep you from being able to be used of God.
Yeah.
But what a lot of people don't understand is those very things in your past that make you a usable vessel for God. You know, God doesn't say we come to him with all knowledge and knowing how to. It's those things that we've learned in the past through our mistakes that allows us to help others. And that's why I thought it was so funny. And, you know, the Word of God says that God uses the foolish things to confound the wise.
That's so ironic. You know, Kim Davis. You're not Billy Graham.
No.
Your past life isn't Billy Graham. You haven't been, you know, the saintly person. And on the issue of marriage, you've made mistakes.
Oh, I was a horrid failure.
But the Lord used you, as you were transformed, to ultimately defend and stand for his created order of marriage as the union of a man and a woman, which is amazing. It's just like what he did to Mary Magdalene. He cast out seven demons.
Yeah.
She was one of the first people, a woman, to witness the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's unbelievable, but this is just how Jesus works. It's so incredible. So one of the things that was amazing, it was when the media tried to use that against you, I would oftentimes, and I did this on every major network, cable, television, worldwide, one of the programs was translated into 40 different languages, and in fact, every time that would come out, I would give your testimony. It went around the world multiple times. In fact, Reuters even gave your testimony in one of its news feeds when it visited your church. It was unbelievable. But this was what happened. 4.5 years before, you are dramatically changed in your encounter with Christ, and then your mom, 37 years elected clerk, longest-serving elected official in Kentucky, decides to retire after she has this back injury. You get elected now in 2014, and 2015 this happens, and God has prepared you. So by the time you go into work, the Monday after the 5-4 opinion, you already know what you're going to do. And for the people that are listening, a clerk in your position, sometimes you may file a document, like something that comes from a court that is authorized and under the authority and power of a court, maybe a lien on property or something of that nature. You're not authorizing it. You're not creating the document. You're filing it as almost like a file clerk, if you will.
Right.
But there's other things that you do where it only initiates and originates and comes as a result of your authority as an elected clerk, and that is marriage. Your name's on it, your title's on it, your authority's on it. Without you, it doesn't get issued. So your name would forever be fixed on a marriage license of anyone, and it only authorizes. It's only authorized because of you. And when you come to work on Monday, you're confronted with the question, do I authorize a marriage that conflicts with God's definition of marriage? And you did what?
Well, I knew I couldn't. I had been seeking God and praying and fasting since we formed our committee in January. So I had 6 months worth of prayer time and fasting in. And, you know, God really set on my heart that, you know, no matter what, I could say I'm a Christian. But if I go ahead and issue those licenses, my profession is in vain. My religion, my everything I hope for and live for would have been in vain because I would have smacked my God right in the face by doing that. And God did not call me. I was obedient to his call, and so he didn't call me to step down or to recuse myself or to retire or to, you know, just step out of my office. God called me for the stand. And I wanted to be true to that. So I weighed the cost. I sat and I thought down and it rolled in my mind and I prayed, God, you know, this is where I'm at. And you know, I had a peace through the whole thing that God was going to be there, that God's will was going to be done in this situation. Maybe not the way I think it should be done, but the way God's plan is. And so when I started getting calls, at first, you know, we didn't have the license, and so, you know, I just told them we're not issuing license right now because we don't have any, you know, any license or anything. And but then I got a call from my friend up at NPR, and he was the first one that called. And then, you know, I told him, I said, lip service is cheap, but I said, when the rubber meets the road, I've got to stand.
Well, our special guest is Kim Davis. Our telephone lines, I'm going to open them up now, is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you want to talk to Kim Davis or have a question for her or give encouragement, you can call that number, 888-589-8840. I'm Matt Staver. Our guest is Kim Davis, and we have a caller on the line now. Go ahead. You're on the line.
Hello. Hi, Doug. I think the radio might be interfering.
Yeah, turn your radio down. Make sure you turn your radio down.
Turn your radio down or off. Okay. Yeah, I was just going to simply ask, and by the way, Kim, I prayed for you fervently when you were in jail, by the way. My name is Steve. I'm calling from Hope, Arkansas. My question is, Kim, what did you think about when you were in jail?
Oh, that, you know, that's such a good question. Let me just give a little preface to what Kim. I visited Kim in jail on that Friday after the Thursday she was incarcerated. And she was in an orange jumpsuit, prisoner's jumpsuit. It's kind of hard to see your client that you know is just following the Lord's will in a prisoner's jumpsuit. Kim and I hugged each other, shed some tears, and the first words you said to me, and I'll never forget it, all is well. Kim, what was that like in the time?
Well, for me, Steve, the main thing I did while I was in the jail was I had a lot of time to focus on prayer, just communing with the Lord. I walked around my cell, raised my hands, prayed out loud. I sang to the tops of my lungs, "What a mighty God we serve," and I don't sing very well, so, you know, it was time to do Bible study. It was a time of peace, and I rested well. I was taken care of very well. But more than anything, it was time for me to just to really get closer to God. And while I was in there, I believe it was Harry Meehan from Liberty Counsel gave me Martin Luther King Jr.'s letter from Birmingham Jail.
Yeah.
And, Steve, I read that. And I reread it, and I cried, and I'm thinking, God, this man suffered immensely while he was in prison, and here I sit in a comfort place, you know, in a comfortable place it was. But I said, the price he had to pay, I can do this, God. I know I can. His letter from Birmingham Jail encouraged me and gave me a you know, just that boost I needed to go ahead and push on through. And but my time in jail was very restful. So, but I had lots of time to pray and do Bible study and, you know, just talk and just glorify God.
And we're going to go to another caller, Kim. Is it Manus from Virginia?
This is Manus, yes.
Yes, Manus, go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Kim.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am very well. Thank you.
Great, great, Kim. You're very welcome. Kim, when this happened 2 years ago, I just want to let you know that I and my church, we really, really prayed for you. We really turned to God for you, and we cried out to God and asked him that his will may be done for you and for the country, and he did it. And today I just want to encourage you, keep fighting. Don't quit. The devil will try to discourage you, but do not quit. We are strongly behind you, and we will be behind you. The Lord is your strength.
Yes.
And we shall win this battle.
Well, thank you, Manus. Thank you for the encouragement. I know Kim thanks you as well. We're going to go to another caller before we go to the break, Kim. Terry. From Texas. Terry, you're on the line.
Yes. Good morning, and God bless you. So,
good morning.
I just wanted to make two statements. One of them is, as far as your past, we all have one. And nobody's ever rode a bike that they didn't fall, but they did learn how to ride the bike, but it was through falling, you know, and bending your knees and stuff. But if you get back up on that bike and go, you're fine. And also, you're the domino that stops the fall of the domino. Once we start letting people do what they want to do, not godly things, then that domino keeps affecting it.
Yeah. And well, thank you, Terry, for calling. We're going to have to, unfortunately, go to a break. We're going to continue the calls. Our number is 888-589-8840. The past can also be used for the future, and that's exactly what happened. Jesus transformed Kim Davis, our very special guest. We're going to continue talking to her, 888-589-8840. August 7 through 13, 2017, just this upcoming few days, National Truth for Youth Bible Week is during that time. Help us give away thousands of Bibles free to teens. AFR and Revival Fires International invite you to help us get the word into our nation's public schools. You can get a free Truth for Youth Bible given to every student between ages 13 through 18. You can pass it on to a friend. We're going to tell you a little bit more about that later.
There is
the
a way that
we'll
seems
back.
Right to a man, but its end is the way to death. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Bernie Sanders appeared for an interview with CNN's Jake Tapper to announce his single-payer health care bill. As Bernie lauded the virtues of socialized medicine, he squirmed when Tapper asked salient questions. If single-payer is so wonderful, why did it fail so miserably when it was attempted in Bernie's home state, Vermont? Vermont's Democrat governor at the time admitted it would destroy their economy. Nutty California realized that too, which is why they didn't pass single-payer either.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association. David Butts of Harvest Prayer Ministries challenges us to see prayer as a gracious gift from God.
Show us, Lord, how to pray with greater effectiveness. Lord, help us to understand more of your heart in our city, in our churches, in our nation, literally around the globe.
The Gift of Prayer is a powerful new DVD that teaches us the importance of prayer. It's a great resource for your church or family. Available for purchase or download from the AFA Cultural Institute at afastore.net.
How can two people with different viewpoints get along? What does the Bible say about love? How should Christians use their spiritual gifts? This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress looks to the Apostle Paul's wisdom in 1 Corinthians for answers. Hear more from our series called Straight Answers to Tough Questions. All this week on Pathway to Victory.
Pathway to Victory. Each weekday morning at 6 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
So, what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. According to former New York Times editor and best-selling author Ed Klein, the Trump administration has offered Hillary Clinton a plea bargain. The arrangement would fall far short of the hopes of President Trump's base that he would lock her up. Worse yet, it apparently would not even require her to disclose the extent of her pay-to-play schemes as Secretary of State or her wrongdoing with respect to mishandling classified information. Instead, according to an unnamed Clinton lawyer, the government has proposed that Mrs. Clinton simply plead guilty to charges of breaking the law. Given the magnitude of her criminal misconduct and the damage it has done to the nation's security and vital interests, that wouldn't even qualify as a slap on the wrist. To be remotely acceptable, any plea deal must entail full disclosure of Hillary's wrongdoing and an appropriate punishment. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to American Family Radio. This is Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Council, filling in for Sandy Rios, who will be back soon. I just wanted to follow up before we go back to our phone lines. You can order your Truth for Youth Bible free going to truthforyouth.com, and AFR and Truth for Youth International has a goal of getting 60,000 Bibles into the hands of young teens. I know how effective this is. We have represented Truth for Youth whenever young people have been prohibited from distributing Bibles, and we've been able to open up those avenues. So go to truthforyouth.com. We'll have more about that before the program is over. Our guest is Kim Davis, Rowan County clerk in Kentucky. We're going to go to Artis in Michigan. Artis, you're on the line.
Thanks for taking my call, and thank you for having Mrs. Davis on today. It's such an amazing and interesting story, and so good to hear of her commitment. My question is, if the Supreme Court's job is to apply the Constitution and that they render opinions, why are they treated like laws instead?
Well, that Artis, that is a great question. We could have an entire one-hour program on that, and maybe we should, and will do that. You know, the Supreme Court has been horribly wrong over the years. Dred Scott, where they said because of the color of your skin, you weren't full citizen. Buck versus Bell, where they said that the Commonwealth of Virginia can forcibly sterilize people because you have low IQ and they want to develop a super race, and so many others. Obviously, Roe versus Wade, and this decision here, I think, at some point in time, history will show, and clearly it's every bit evident that these five justices did not base it on the Constitution, the court's precedent. They just did it on their own. And the problem is that Congress and the people don't push back, and they just allow these decisions to be treated as though that they're a super legislature. And that's one of the problems that we have with the entire judiciary when judges overstep their boundaries. They're umpires. They're not to throw the game. They're just to call the game. And they're not to be a participant in the game. They're just to basically umpire, call the shots, interpret the law. And we need more people put on the United States Supreme Court. We have one, Justice Gorsuch, who's just been put there by President Trump. But we need more up there that will bring the Supreme Court back into line, because it's the mothership of all the other courts. It gives the guidance, if you will, for the other courts so that they're interpreters, not creators of law. That's not their job. Great question. It's why we have the Roe versus Wade abortion decision. It's why we have the other marriage decision that just really perverts not only the social issues in marriage and life, but also the Constitution. We're going to go to Mark from Kentucky. You're on the line.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having me. And I just wanted to say, Kim, just thank you so much for doing very simply this, standing firm. We live in a time in this country where we have so many people that have been elected to represent the people and to uphold the laws of this land. And I was just taken aback. I was so proud, so thankful when I heard of you standing firm and saying, no, I'm not going to sign these things. That is not what the definition of marriage is. And I just cry out to the people of the state of Kentucky. We have a man who's representing us in Washington for how many terms now? And he continues to do the damage that he does simply because he is not doing the job he was elected to do, to represent the people, to uphold the laws of the land, to uphold the Constitution. And I just want to honor and regard you as a great example of a truly great American in a position where you could stand firm and do the right thing.
Well, thank you, Mark,
so much. Thank you. That means the world to me. Thank you.
And David, you're on the line from Louisiana. Go ahead, David.
Well, God bless you, Kim. I thank the Lord for using you. And it may be a strange question, but did you find a time of rejoicing, just like the apostles did, when they were beaten by the religious council, and they said, not to preach Christ anymore, and but they rejoiced in that they were counted worthy to suffer for His name's sake? I'm going to hang up and just listen to you off the air. And
thank you, David.
Your thoughts on all that,
Kim? Share us about how your time was in prison.
Well, my time that I was incarcerated was probably some of the most peaceful, most spiritual, for me, most uplifting time that I had in a while, because you understand I had been under a constant barrage of pressure from the media, the ACLU, the people picketing outside my office with bullhorns right by my window where I was working. So for me, it was... I just had to sit there and think, Lord, is this real? You know, am I worthy to suffer for you? And I just, I had to thank him so much because I knew it was his will that was leading and guiding my life, and that if I just stayed true and held on, that, you know, he would bring me through all of this. And I still feel that way. I've always had a sense of peace. I've never fretted or worried or you know, lost sleep over it. God has given me such a just a wonderful calmness through this whole situation, and it's gone on a long time now. And but I still feel that same peace from the very beginning, you know. And it's that's just the wondrous works of God and how He can just lay His hand on you and just cover you up and just, you know, pull you in and protect
Kim,
you.
I remember you telling me that one of your most spiritual moments was those early nights that you spent in the prison there, where you just read your Bible, studied, and were praising the Lord.
Oh, yeah. I sang to the tops of my lungs, and those rooms in there, they kind of echo. So, and I don't sing real well.
The other thing, too, is, I mean, we're going to go to Kathy in just a second from Texas, so Kathy, hold on. But you were escorted, you were driven to the jail from the federal prison, which this was not something that we put out in the press releases, by the jailer, who was a part-time pastor,
yes,
who's a Christian. And you're booked by two women, and as they're booking you, they are weeping as
yes,
they're booking you. And once you get into this cell, you get a message from the men who are in the violent offender section. These are people who are in prison for 10 years or more. And they send you a note when they realize on the news Kim Davis is coming to their prison, and they send you a note that they're praying for you and stand with you. It was unbelievable. And when you left the prison, there were people that you had made a huge impact on. Maybe we can talk a little bit more about that. But let's go to Kathy. You've been holding for a while. Kathy from Texas, you're on the line.
Good morning. My question is kind of a two-part question. When you rededicated your life to Christ, where did your family stand on that? Were they also rededicating their life? And then when you took the stand that you did and even were incarcerated, was your family supportive of your decision to do that? I mean, were they behind you, or how was your family
good
in
question,
that?
Good question, Kathy. Kim, when you gave your life to the Lord, it wasn't just you.
No, it was my husband, and you know, my children came back through, and it was just a wonderful time of cohesiveness. I mean, everything just kind of came together, and you know, while I was in jail, I had one visit with my family while I was incarcerated. I think it was on a Sunday, and one of the hardest things that I did was to see my grandson through the glass, and he put his little hand up on the glass to try to reach for me, and I put my hand up there, and I couldn't touch him because there was glass between us, and I think that was probably the hardest thing. But my family was so very supportive, you know. My kids may have not fully understood why I was doing what I was doing, but still they respected me enough to support me in it, and it wasn't so much it was just all kind of because they were thrown into this too, you know.
Well, and your son,
is a
preacher, if you will. I mean, I've heard him get up in the church and share, and he's got preacher in him for sure.
Oh yeah.
But he also is a deputy clerk that works there, and his life was turned around as well.
Oh, he at 22 years old, he had the weight of the world on him, and it was just amazing how he. I always say that Nathan is a young man with an old soul, and he was instrumental on with my strength. If he had not been here, he vetted all phone calls, opened all mail because we received a lot of stuff in the mail, death threats, glitter bombs, nasty stuff.
I'm going to go to Connie in just a second from Arkansas, but for those who don't understand what was going on, Kim went from 0 to 100 miles an hour in terms of facing the wind of intolerance on this issue, and she didn't blink a moment because she was standing with Jesus. She had video games that were designed to hurt her. The more you harmed her, the greater your score was. You had death threats, you had a change in your phone, but you also had letters of support, thousands and thousands of letters of support that came to you while you were in the jail and after when you actually got out, all 50 states and many foreign countries. So there was an outpouring of spirit, and that kind of leads right into Connie from Arkansas. Your question is, what's the reaction there from the local community? Connie, you're on the line.
Oh, hi, Kim. It's such a pleasure to be able to even talk with you. And
hi, Ms. Connie.
You just don't know how much you have inspired me, and I think many other people, with your courage. In a day when no one wants to take a stand for anything, and to see you and what you did, it's very encouraging. And we just thank God that He used you in that way, even though it may have been very difficult. But we need more people like you to take that stand. And I was just curious about, you know, your state and how people in your own state and community responded to you. Was it primarily, you know, overwhelmingly positive, negative, a mixture? But did they support you? And I would just like to kind of know in your immediate.
And what was the reaction, Kim, of
your reaction?
Yeah.
Well, Connie, thank you so much. And you know, the courage that I have is of the Lord. It's nothing of me. But my community has a very liberal college. The president at
Morehead
that time.
State University is right there.
Yes, that's correct. Posted
in
on
fact,
his
the president
Facebook.
Of Morehead State University encouraged the students to go out and picket you.
Yes, most definitely. And most of the people that came to my office to receive marriage license were workers from up at the university. So that liberal ideology goes deep up there. And it's but for the most part, my community was very, very much behind me, still very much behind me, encouraging, praying. You know, every prayer that was prayed out there, I truly and honestly appreciate, and I still desire your prayers because it's still very ongoing. You know, I need strength and I need God's guidance and just I need to be sensitive to, you know, to His will. So I desire your prayers still. But
we're running short on time, but Connie and Kim, just a quick follow-up on that. As a result of Kim's stand, he was running for governor, now he's the governor, Matt Bevin, visited her in prison, stood with her. All of the media were counting him out. He was running against the Democratic opponent. He was not a politician. He ended up winning, shifting the polls by about 15 points. The liberal media had to say Kim Davis was a factor in his decisive win, because he stood for marriage, pro-life, Kim Davis, religious freedom. As a result of that, Republicans and Democrats came together unanimously last year, passing a religious freedom bill that protects Kim Davis and others. So there has been a huge groundswell of support. I remember when you and I were walking on our trip to Washington, D.C. for an interview. This was in LaGuardia in New York, in Washington, D.C., in Philadelphia. People saw Kim Davis, and they were amazed, and they were supportive of Kim. Our special guest is Kim Davis. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Council. I want to remind you, August 7 through 13, this month, the National Truth for Youth Bible Week, and AFR and Revival Fires International invite you to get the word out to teens in the public schools. And the goal is to get out 60,000 Bibles to the young teens all across America. Go to truthforyouth.com. That's truthforyouth.com to get your free Bible and to participate. You can also call 800-733-4737. 800-733-4737. Get the Word of God into the teens. Participate in this National Truth for Youth Bible Week. I'm Matt Staver. We'll see you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.